Welcome to the Women Winning at Work podcast, where I interview successful women, mostly in technology field, about life, their journey, and the secret to their success. My name is Barca Herman, and I interview exciting women with amazing careers to discover their secrets and their path to success.
Hello, everyone. So this is another episode of Women Winning at Work podcast with Barca Herman. And today I have an amazing guest, Diana Gonzalez. Diana Gonzalez also works for Microsoft as a customer engineer, and she specializes in data and AI. And I'm going to invite you, Diana, to describe your own work. So go ahead.
Thank you, Barkma, for the opportunity. I started at Microsoft for about 2 years now. I am a data and AI customer engineer where I help in various technologies in Azure. I'm mostly focused working with like Azure SQL Database and Azure SQL Managed Instance, and just trying to learn as much as I can there to help bring customers over into the cloud.
Okay. So when you, was it a transition for you to move to cloud, Diana, from on-premise, or were you working with cloud before?
No, yeah, so it was a transition from moving on-prem to the cloud. But since I started at Microsoft, that was my focus as once I started. So strictly kind of hired just to, you know, get in and learn as much as I could within the Azure cloud. But it was just a rapid change, but I've learned so much just being here already, and the opportunities are endless. So
that's wonderful. Okay, so let's start with my usual first question, which is I'm like a comic book and Marvel and DC geek. So every character there has an origin story. So I always ask my guests, what is your origin story, Diana? Tell me about it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So I have so much to say. So hopefully I don't bore everybody. But so I come from a big Latino family of six girls and one boy. So my parents immigrated from Mexico to the States in around 1977. So they did their best, you know, not knowing English or really anybody, just to create a stable environment for me and my siblings. And just growing up, you know, and it was a kind of a strict Christian background and kind of in an all-female household. I never thought I would end up in the tech field. We were kind of more worried about shopping, makeup, and hair than knowing about technology in those days. But I would say it was around the 90s when my dad bought us our first desktop computer. I think it was like an e-machine, that I kind of started thinking about technology and just being curious, you know, when the computer would break or something, they'd be like, you fix it. So there I was just trying to find a way to fix the computer. And then in high school, you know, taking some like computer design classes, which is kind of just basic learning of Microsoft Office, that I kind of just, you know, I became more curious about technology. So
I'm going to pause you there. That sounds fascinating, though. So tell me, where did you live growing up? Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Houston, Texas.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. Born and raised, I've never moved. So I'm a Texas girl all the way. So yeah, I mean, I grew up here.
Are you the oldest, Diana? Is that why you got to be the designated computer fixer? Or did you have an aptitude?
No, so I was the fifth youngest.
Wow.
So yeah, so I was the youngest for a while. I would say, I think it was about 5 years, 5 or 6 years that I was the youngest, until my mom had her first boy. And then I still was the youngest. And then my mom decided, I don't know, to have another one for some reason when she had my last sister. So yeah, so I was kind of just the youngest for a while there. So just, you know, being curious, I think, and just always trying to be on the computer.
Yeah, so you were the most curious then to be the fixer.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
And nobody would took interest to fix it. So I was like, okay, let me just try to see if I can figure this out. So that's what I did.
That's amazing. Okay, so go on, continue. You're in high school, you're taking some classes, then what?
Yeah, so I kind of just, you know, again, just became more interested about technology and all of the things it has to offer. But so, yeah, I mean, I graduated and into my first semester in community college, I found out I was pregnant. So,
wow.
That just having to drop out of college to make ends meet with the child in the way was just a feeling of disappointment, failure, and shame that I felt not only, you know, within myself, but like I felt like I failed my family and God and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Don't get me started about big families and guilt.
Yes. So by the age of 20, I had two beautiful girls and just working to make ends meet. And I still, though, had that strong desire to go back to school and finish. Like, that was always something that was in the back of my mind, that I wanted to go back. And luckily, in 2006, I was able to take that leap of faith and I quit my job and I went back to school. And so, yeah, I remember it was funny because my oldest girl was starting kindergarten and I was starting my back to freshman year in college. So I remember telling myself, once when she's out of elementary, I'll be out of college. And so that kind of was always in the back of my mind, that she would go into another year of school, I went to another year of college. And, you know, it wasn't easy. I don't know how many times I cried. I was exhausted, but I managed. My mom was a big help to me, and she would always encourage me and just tell me, hey, you're almost done, keep going. That's what she would always just tell me. She would see me come in and cry, you know? And so.
Wow, that's an amazing story, Diana. Congratulations for that, because that's definitely, it just goes to show you that we look at all these, and, you know, I always perceived you as a successful woman, having an amazing career, and I mean, you're so stylish, and you're just so fit, and you're smiling, and you just, people think that success has no, like, failure along the way. And the more I talk to women, the more I realize each story is so unique, and you just didn't stop, you kept going. So congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, like I said, it was a struggle juggling, you know, my two girls in school. I remember having to take them with me sometimes just to finish out a project or something like that to school. But yeah, needless to say, I did it. I finished in 2011. I graduated with a bachelor's degree in computer information systems from the University of Houston. Go Cougs. So, but that was like only the beginning of my career as a woman in tech, because I didn't have any work experience at all in technology besides what I took in high school, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I started from the bottom, learning as much as I could. I started in a desktop support. So, and just really just learning as much as I could from people. At that time, it was a lot of, obviously, men in the fields. But, you know, I just would always ask questions. I was always asking questions, asking for help. I wasn't ashamed to do that. So I think that's one thing that really helped me get through, you know, as being a woman in tech. It's just leveraging the men to get to where I wanted to be. So, yeah, so it wasn't until a few years later that I landed a role at Mattress Firm as a SQL database administrator, where
how did that happen? How did you go from like desktop support to database? How did that happen?
So I quickly found out that desktop support wasn't for me. it wasn't something that, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it just wasn't something that I wanted to continue to pursue. And I know in most of my senior classes were around managing data, and we did it with SQL. And so I felt more comfortable just being in that environment, in that role, working with those technologies since, you know, kind of my whole senior year project was based off of that. So I knew I enjoyed that. And so I wanted to do that. And so I just sought out to get as much SQL database experience as I could. So, you know, I transitioned from Dean support into a SQL DB role. And so after a few different working at a few different companies, I found myself at Mattress Firm, where I met my mentor, Carlos. He was the assigned dedicated support engineer for Microsoft. And so what that means is, like, he helped the DBA team with any questions or issues that could arise. Like, he was like our dedicated Microsoft support guy, and we would go to him for any questions. So once I found that out, I kind of leveraged him as much as I could. And it was like the best learning school.
Yeah.
For me, because he taught me everything he knew. And I'm just so grateful that, you know, he wasn't one of those, he didn't teach you anything, but he would always come in and tell me, okay, what questions do you have? And I would always have to have questions for him. Or he's like, okay, what do you want to learn today? And I was just like, oh, there were times where I was like, I don't want to learn anything. You know, I just want to work. So he's the one that kind of, encouraged
me. That's amazing story so far. So did Carlos help you with your journey to Microsoft?
He did. Yes. Yeah. And he would always encourage me. He would be like, well, you can work there. And I was like, yeah, right. I'm like, I am not even like half as smart as you. And like, I knew what the expectations were for the interview. You know, there was like, you have to go to 3 interviews and 3 2 technical. And I'm like, there's no way. And I had applied before and have not received any callbacks. And so this one day he's like, you should apply. And I was like, okay. So I did it one more time. And this time we prepared ourselves. He actually walked me through like just a mock interview, and he asked me questions, and we overly prepared, and needless to say, it just worked out. Here I am.
That's amazing. That is such an amazing story, Diana. I'm so glad that I pinged you and I'm talking to you. I'm so impressed.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think that we talk, and especially at Microsoft, we have an allyship program. Everybody gets to go through the program. But really, your life, like your life is an example of how allyship could really be so good, because you did find allies. Your allies were mostly male. And all along, even as a child, you were the most curious person in the room. Yeah. Am I wrong to say that?
No, yeah, I think so. I think that's kind of what would help me, is I just stay curious and just continue to have that growth mindset. And even now, I still, something will just, I'm just curious. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go Google that. Go Bing it. See what that means. Or what is that? And just, I think in technology, you almost have to stay curious, you know, just to get a leverage on things, because it's always changing. And it's always, like I said, it's always just changing.
Yeah. So how are your girls doing, and how do they, are they proud of you?
Yeah, they are. I think they've seen as how far I've come where I started, because they were on the journey with me. Yeah. And I remember I was like, I got the job in Microsoft. And they were like, really? Like, oh my God. Like, now we can say mom works for Microsoft and not Mattress Firm. And I was like, hey, I was like, Mattress Firm got me here. But yes.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I think that one of the best things a mother can do is be an example to her children. And my own mom was a school teacher, so she worked all her life, and all my aunts and my grandparents and grandmas and everybody didn't work. So having a mom who had a career which she thought was appropriate, and you know, that's what she could do in her days,
kind of taught me to also be independent. So I really appreciate your story. So tell me, once you did land at Microsoft, how was it? Was it challenging? Was it helpful? Tell me, good, bad, ugly, everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first, obviously you start off and you just go to orientation. And so that's kind of like, oh yeah, I made it. And then you actually go into start doing work and then you just find yourself like doubting yourself. You know, it's just like, I guess it's the imposter syndrome kicks in. You know, you're like, what? Why am I here? Like, I'm nowhere near. You're just surrounded by so many smart people, like, yeah, at Microsoft. There's just so many of them. And it's like, then it's you. And you're like, why am I here? It's like, yeah. So I just found myself doubting myself a lot. And I'm still working through that. I'm still working through just, you know, believing in myself and just having the confidence and knowing that, hey, I was hired here for a reason. And I do belong here and I'm just as good as everybody else.
And you know, what would you have to say about people who are listening to this podcast and saying, she's the smart person I want to be?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I say that, you know, they say luck is when preparation meets opportunity. Yes. And I just feel like that my journey prepared me for this opportunity. And but your journey may not turn out the way you intended it. But each obstacle that you face is preparing you for your next opportunity. And you have to just keep the faith and trust that you'll eventually arrive, you know, to whatever it is that you want to accomplish.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. Beautifully said, Diana. So you've talked a lot about like triumphing over things, and God knows you've had some challenges in your life, but I do want to talk about, as a woman in technology, what are some of the challenges that are unique to women in technology, and then also unique to this, not as a woman, just as a person in the tech field, what are some of the challenges?
I think as a woman in tech, is the challenges you're going to face is obviously tech is known as like kind of like a boys club, you know, and just being surrounded by a bunch of men, it's hard, you know, because you don't have a lot of women resources to go and, you know, just talk about your struggles or anything like that. So I think that's the hard part. But if you kind of put that aside and you kind of try and make friends with everybody, you'll find yourself that there's a lot of people that are willing to help you.
Yeah. 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 And then is there something you find that's particularly challenging just about the field, whether you're man, woman, young, old, doesn't matter?
Yeah. I think, you know, like I mentioned before, it's always changing. You know, it's always, there's always the next big thing. There's always the next big phone, the next big tech, it's the next big update. And it's like, I'm still learning this one. Can you like not move to the next? So I think just keeping yourself up to date, I think, is the struggle and the challenge. But, you know, just take it day by day.
Yeah. You know, yeah, that's awesome. And what are some of your biggest wins in your life so far, in your career? What do you consider big wins or small wins?
I mean, I think just my big win in particular is not only graduating college, as coming from, I think I was just the second one in my family to graduate from college. So that's a big win. And then just getting a position at Microsoft, you know, that was a huge dream of mine. And just getting here, it's like, wow, I finally made it. I feel like, you know, even though it's not nothing compared to others, but to me, it's like, I feel like I've made it. But yeah.
Yeah, no, and you know, listen, I am of Indian origin. I grew up in India, and I growing up in India, I didn't know that I was poor because I had a roof over my head and I always had a belly full. But I didn't have a lot, but I didn't know mm-hmm. that I was poor. According to American standards, I would be considered dirt poor, right?
Yeah.
But It's funny because I am familiar with that. I am familiar with the fact that growing up in India, I would have looked my life today and said, whoa, I wouldn't even have dreamed of all the things that I have. But here, a lot of people take it for granted, and a lot mm-hmm. of people are in amazing position and don't see their own blessings. So do you have any thoughts on that, or do you have anything to add to that?
No, I mean, like, I teach my girls, but it took me a lot to get here. There was time when I moved out and I was pregnant, I had an apartment, had no furniture. I kind of just walked them through the process just so they can understand that, you know, it takes hard work to get to something like this. You know, not everybody has that advantage, but, you know, you have to work at it and really go in full speed and get to where you need to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Wise words. Wise words. I can't wait to see your girls grow and create amazing lives for their own. So, Diana, what is an advice that you would give to yourself at 16, let's say, or at 18 or 20? What would you say to her?
I've thought about this several times, and all I could think of is that you're going to start life, I guess, backwards. Married with children, but keep going because you'll eventually, you know, get to your destination and start living your life, not necessarily a mom life, but just your life. And yeah.
Yeah. So this is a big, you know, one of the challenges that I hear from other women in technology when I talk to them is that, you know, for a man in technology, and this is not true for everyone, but at least to a certain extent, it's true that, you know, for a guy in tech, they have a lot more time to themselves because they have the ability to go to a lot of conferences and do side projects and this and that. They have a lot of time. Whereas a woman tends to, and it's, again, I'm not saying this is true for everybody. I know that my husband and I are both in technology, and he was a very good part. Like he participated in helping me raise my kids. So I'm not saying everyone is like that, but still, as a woman, as a mom, dealing with the mom guilt, dealing with the, you know, oh, I don't have enough time to learn all the stuff that keeps coming out that like the 21 year old fresh out of college kid is staying up all night learning about. Yeah. So how does that, do you have any comments on that? What do you think and how do you deal with it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I still do, even though my girls are old now, they're 19 and 18. We still have a different struggle with them as teens. You may not be walking right next to them every single second, but there's different struggles. But you know, I just, like I said, I just kind of take it day by day, try to just keep myself organized in a routine and just make time for myself, really, is kind of how I get through the day, you know? It's like if I don't make time for myself, then I'm no good. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a great advice. I mean, I think that that's very true. My own thing is sometimes I get so caught up in things, then I'll get sick. And so I've learned over time that if I don't make time for myself, I'm going to end up sick and I'm no good to anyone.
Yes. Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah.
So that's great. Self-care is very important.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I know that besides working, you also do some other stuff. I think you run a half marathon. So tell me about it.
Yeah. So I guess it's kind of my self-care is really just staying physically active. You know, I just do a lot of spin and I do a lot of running, and I just feel like it just makes me a stronger person, not only physically, but mentally, but just, it's like a way to de-stress after the day of not only working, but of just all your house chores and everything else that comes in between. I just that's my time just to go and relax. I know it doesn't sound relaxing running, but it does. You'd be surprised. And so it just offers me a time to de-stress and just get ready for the next day. So
it does. They say that, you know, exercise, you know, releases all these endorphins, and also it takes your focus completely away from work. So and home and all that stuff. So I can see that. So when's your next marathon? Are you training for one?
You know, I haven't done one in a while since COVID, but I've done some like virtual runs. I think my last run was actually a 10K, which is 6 miles, to help with human trafficking. So I enjoy doing stuff like that, but I haven't found one yet. I was thinking about the rodeo run, but obviously the rodeo got canceled this year. So
yeah.
Maybe next year. But yeah, I haven't looked at the next one, but right now I'm kind of just enjoying doing my spin class time. So
that's amazing. Yeah. Okay. Well, and finally, I'd love to hear, you know, do you have any advice for anyone who's listening, especially young Latinas that are similar in your background? Do you have a message? Of course, you're free to give a message to everyone who's listening, because you have such an inspiring story. And I'm just so amazed by all your accomplishments. So anything you'd love to say to our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, just like I said, you know, your journey, it's kind of going to take you where you want to be. And to the Latina girls out there, it's okay if you don't look like somebody else that's in the tech field, or, you know, your English isn't good. It's okay. You can find a way through, and there's a bunch of resources that can help you. And just lean into what you love, and just follow your passion, and you'll find yourself finding that right job or that right role for yourself.
Yeah. And I think that, Diana, especially from your story, I learned so much about how to leverage allyship and being curious. Those two things can take you places.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Diana, for joining me today. I really, really appreciate your time, and I love your story. And I hope you'll come back and talk to me some more in a few months' time.
Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. I feel really grateful to do this. So I'm going to put this as my first podcast ever on my dream board.
That's great. And it's with me. So I'm very happy about that.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope you had as much fun listening to this episode as I had recording it. If you enjoyed this episode, please, please, please share this with your friends wherever you're listening. And I would love to have your feedback and also recommendations. What would you like to hear in the next episode? Who would you like to be featured? Just let me know. Reach out on all the socials. Love you. Thanks.